Hebrews chapter number 12, beginning in verse number 1. Hebrews 12 and verse number 1, the Bible says this: "Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For the Lord, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." I want to draw your attention to a phrase that we find in verse number 3. The Bible says, "For consider him." We came through a great Christmas program this morning. We're coming through the holiday season, and everybody is busy getting their gifts and things. And we love this time of year by and large, but many people across the world don't stop and consider him. I was thinking this morning as I was sitting in the orchestra listening to the choir sing and looking up at the words and looking at the title of our Christmas program this morning. It was, "His name is Jesus." I was thinking about that the name of Jesus is so wonderful. He's a wonderful counselor. He is the mighty God. He is the Prince of Peace. What a wonderful name the Lord Jesus has. You ask several people throughout this congregation, and no doubt if you say, "What does Jesus mean to you?" you'll get a lot of answers. I remember back when we were in the old building at Center Street, and Mr. English was in the church, and he was still here with us, and he would always ask me, every so often, he'd go, Hey, Kev, you want to go get something to eat? And I said, "Yes, I want to go get something to eat." He said, "Let's go get a cheeseburger." I said, "Let's go get a cheeseburger." And he and his wife would take Arthur and I, if you remember Arthur, he would take us out, and he would start talking about everything that there was to talk about, and I'd sit across the table, didn't really touch my burger, I just listened to Mr. English, and I'd sit there and listen to him talk, and he would talk about how he was a mayor, and he would talk about his time in Korea in the military, but inevitably, every time across the table, Mr. English would start talking about Jesus. He would start talking about how the Lord Jesus Christ changed his life. He would start talking about when he got saved. He used to be a drinker. And when he got saved, he took the alcohol and he poured it down the drain and he never touched it again. I remember sitting in church and Mr. English would come up to sing. And you know how he did it. If you remember Mr. English, he would start singing and he would look you right in the eye. He would sing. And when he looked at me, I couldn't help but just smile back at him. But I remember about him not all the food that he gave me and the time he spent. I remember those things, but the thing that I like to remember most about that faithful man was that he loved Jesus. What a great influence on a young bus kid. And I wonder tonight, do we love Jesus the way we should? Probably not. But for the next few moments, it's a very simple message tonight. I want us to sit down and consider him. Consider the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray tonight. Father, again, thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for how it speaks to our heart. I pray tonight that you would take your word, that you would speak to our hearts. God, that you take me as your vessel, that you would cleanse me, Lord, of sin, that you'd empty me of myself, that I might speak with thus saith the Lord. Father, I pray that I would be a spirit-filled preacher preaching to spirit-filled listeners. Father, we pray for each member here tonight, each person that might be visiting. We pray if there's anybody here tonight, if they're lost, we pray that you'd save them. Lord, if there's anybody here tonight that's discouraged, would you encourage them? Lord, for those here tonight that are hurting, would you help them? Would you heal them? Lord, for anybody here tonight that might be away from you, that's backslidden, would you convict them of their sin and bring them to you? And Father, we'll thank you for what you're going to do. Thank you again for your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Consider him. We arrive in the book of Hebrews, and the theme of the book of Hebrews is Jesus is better. You see, Hebrew Christians were kind of going back. They were going back to the law. They were going to do the things in the Old Testament, and they were getting persecuted, so they were going back. Maybe Jesus isn't enough. Maybe he's not sufficient for us. But the writer of Hebrews says, hold on just a minute. Jesus is better than anything you can even imagine. He's not just a little bit better. He's not just a whole lot better. But the word that the text used, that he is infinitely better. Jesus is better. And he goes through the text and he's talking about how Jesus is better than Moses. Hebrew people would go back and they would look at all the teaching of Moses and they would rely on Moses and they would follow after Moses. But the writer says Jesus is better than Moses. Jesus is better than the angels. He would remind them that yes, though we like to look at angels and they're a mystic type of person, a mystic type of thing, but Jesus is better than the angels. And the writer of Hebrews also reminds people that Jesus is better than Aaron. You see, Aaron was the high priest, and the people, of course, would go to Aaron and go to the high priest, and they would offer a sacrifice so that their sins might be forgiven or their trespasses might be blotted out, but Jesus is better than Aaron. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ has an eternal priesthood. The Bible reminds us here that though all the priests, they died in the Old Testament, the priests, they would go away, and they were sinners themselves. Hebrews reminds us that Jesus, he is the perfect Son of God, and he is God the Son, and he has a priesthood that abides forever. Jesus is better than anything you could ever think of. Consider Jesus. Number one, I want you to consider this. Consider him who was prophesied. We're going to be jumping around a lot of scriptures, Bible heavy tonight. Amen. We like the Bible. But consider him who was prophesied. I think about Hebrews in chapter number 1. You don't have to turn there for time's sake, but Hebrews chapter number 1, we read the opening statement where the Bible says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. And so the beginning of Hebrews talks about how Jesus has come in the last days to speak unto us. He died for us. He lived for us. And he spoke unto us. But we go back to the Old Testament and we hear about somebody who is coming. We think about Hebrews and we think about the Lord Jesus and how the Old Testament prophesied the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not just a figment of our imagination. He's not just somebody that popped up on the scene all of a sudden, but hundreds of years and even thousands of years before we celebrate Christmas, Jesus was being talked about in the Scriptures. Somebody said about the Bible, you can cut the Bible anywhere and it will bleed with the blood of Jesus Christ. You think about Genesis. Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 15. We remember the account well, and it says, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head and it shall bruise his heel. We talk about Jesus in the book of Genesis all the way to Revelation. In the book of Genesis, Jesus is the seed of the woman. We go to the book of Exodus and we find that he's the Passover lamb. And everywhere through the Old Testament, we find pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to go over to Isaiah chapter number 6 or chapter number 9, we'll look there at a couple of verses. Isaiah chapter number 9. Jesus was prophesied in the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter number 9. Let me get there myself. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter number 9 and verse number 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Verse 7, of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom to order it, and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Jesus was prophesied in the Old Testament. Let's keep going. We're going to read a lot of Bible tonight. It's all good in the hood, though. Isaiah chapter number 53. Isaiah chapter number 53 says this, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he, talking about Jesus, shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Verse number 3, Isaiah chapter 53 says, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Verse number 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. Who do you think that's talking about? He was bruised for our iniquities. I have a clue. And the chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. I wonder who we're talking about. And as a sheep before the shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. And he was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgression of my people. He was stricken. Verse number 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Who do you think Isaiah chapter 53 is talking about? You can call it out. Go ahead. What a wonderful name. Hey, the Bible prophesied Jesus in the Old Testament. Consider him who was prophesied in the Old Testament. Consider Jesus. Think. The word consider means stop. Think. Consider. Acknowledge. Think on this. Consider Jesus who was prophesied. Not only that, consider Jesus who was personified. Consider Jesus who was personified. The Old Testament is like you are walking down a hallway, and around the corner from you in another hallway, you can hear somebody coming. That's the Old Testament. It points to somebody coming. You can maybe hear the footsteps. And you can hear them walking down. And perhaps you can see the shadow of that person coming from that hallway. But you don't know exactly who it is yet. But then the New Testament comes along. And we see that that person is Jesus as he walks out into the New Testament. Jesus was prophesied in the Old Testament. He was personified in the New Testament. Think about his birth. It's a very big miracle that Jesus was born of a virgin. I think about in Matthew chapter number 1, it says, "And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Jesus was born of a virgin. What a wonderful miracle that we're celebrating this time of year. We think about how Jesus came into this earth, that he was born and he was put in a manger, and he, the purpose of his coming was to die and to live for us again. Consider his birth. Consider Jesus being. Think about all that Jesus did in his earthly ministry. Think about it in your own life. What has Jesus done in your life? Consider him. Think about all the works of Jesus we find in the New Testament. I think about Jesus in Luke chapter number 5, where a desperate leper came to Jesus. He wrapped his ankles up and begged him, "Please heal me." And Jesus touched that leper and he was healed. Think about the account where Bartimaeus was in a ditch and he was clothed and he was blind and he needed help and nobody else could help him, but he heard that Jesus was coming by. Consider him. Bartimaeus got up out of that ditch and he ran to Jesus and he said, "Hey, could you touch my eye that I might see again?" And consider what Jesus did. He healed him, touched the blind eye. Think about the account also in Luke chapter number 5 where four men brought their friend who had palsy to the Lord Jesus Christ. They even ripped open a portion of the ceiling because they knew Jesus was there. Consider Jesus. What did Jesus do? We find first that Jesus cleansed that man from his sins and then touched that man that had palsy and watched that man walk away. Consider him. Consider how Jesus stopped a funeral procession where a woman was weeping over the death of her son and watched Jesus raise that son from the dead. Consider him. Consider all the works that Jesus has done in the New Testament. Consider all the things that the Lord has done in your life. Sometimes we're so busy, we don't have time to pause and just consider him. We're so busy with our life, we're so busy with our jobs, we're so busy with everything imaginable, but consider him. Just stop and consider what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. We consider him as he's prophesied, we consider him as he's personified in the New Testament, but then I want you to consider, third of all, he was vilified. He was personified, he was prophesied, but he was vilified. I like what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse number 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 21, it says this, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Consider what Jesus has done for you and me. He was vilified. He was literally made the enemy. He was tried by a trial that was unfair. He was beaten and he was vilified for us. Look at our verse back in Hebrews chapter 3. Chapter 12 and verse number 3, the Bible says, "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest he be wearied and faint in your minds." I'm talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, who took on himself a form of a servant, somebody who became the enemy, somebody who became the villain. He took our sin and put it on himself, and he did that for us. Consider him. He was prophesied in the Old Testament. He was personified in the New Testament. He was vilified. And then number 4, he was crucified. Consider how Jesus was crucified. Look, please, in Matthew chapter number 27. Matthew chapter number 27, we'll be reading there. Consider how he was crucified. The Bible says in Matthew chapter number 27 and verse number 22, excuse me, the Bible says, "Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called the Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why, what evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified." Verse number 26, "Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified." Consider him. "Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers, and they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had platted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him, mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews." Verse 30, "Consider him whom they crucified, and they spit upon him. And they took a reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were coming to a place called Golgotha, which that is the place of the skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink." Verse 35, "And they crucified him, and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots." Verse number 39, "And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads, and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple, and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priest, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, He saved others, Himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God." Consider him who was crucified. Why was he crucified? He was crucified for you, and he was crucified for me. Take a moment just to sit down and consider Jesus, what he is, who he is, and what he has done. Consider him. He endured the pain of the cross. He endured the humiliation of the cross. We find that his own father turned his back on him. The Bible says in later verses, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Consider Jesus as he was crucified. He was prophesied in the Old Testament. He was personified in the New Testament. He was vilified. He was crucified. But I like this one. Lastly tonight, he was glorified. Jesus was glorified. We know what happens next. You go into the next chapter. In chapter 28 of Matthew, it says there, "At the end of the Sabbath, it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door, and he sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear not ye." I like this. "For I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified." I like verse number 6. "He is not here, Amen. For he is risen, as he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay. I get excited about this part. You'll have to excuse me. I get a little bit excited that we don't serve a dead Savior. You see, you can go and you can look at the body of Muhammad. You can go dig up the bones or whatever. You can go find Confucius and you can dig up his bones. You can go find Buddha and you can find all his bones. He's dead. But if you go to that tomb in Jerusalem, guess what you won't find? You won't find the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he is risen just as he said. Hey, we serve a risen Savior. Consider the fact that you serve a risen Savior today, that Jesus is living today, and you can walk with him, and you can talk with him, and you can fellowship with him, and you can commune with him, and you can share him with others. Consider Jesus. Yes, he was prophesied in the Old Testament. He was personified in the New Testament. He was vilified. He took our sins for us. He was crucified. He died for us. But praise God, he didn't stay dead. He was in the grave for 3 days. But the last thing, he was glorified for us. He rose from the dead. He is glorified. You say, Brother Kevin, all these truths that you're talking about, these are great things. I love to think on these things. Wow, that is so wonderful. We're talking about Jesus, and the Bible is about Jesus, and Jesus has changed my life. Now, I'm going to ask you the same question that Pilate asked in Matthew chapter number 27 when he said, what shall I do then with Jesus, who is called the Christ? The question I have for you tonight is, what shall I do with Jesus? You need to consider him. Think on him. Meditate on him. Acknowledge him. Commune with him. Fellowship with him. Consider him. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called the Christ? I want to take you to one verse tonight. We're almost done. I want you to go, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse number 14. Verse number 14, the Bible says this, for the love of Christ constraineth us. That means the love of Christ, it's got a grip on me. The problem in a lot of our churches in our country today is that Calvary has never captured us the way it once did. Calvary has not captured us the way it once did. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. The question is, what shall I do with Jesus? Well, here's the answer to that. You should not. The Bible says you should not. It doesn't say you cannot, but it says you should not live for yourself. As we consider all that Jesus has done, the Lord Jesus Christ, what a wonderful Savior. He was prophesied and he was personified, vilified, crucified, glorified. As we consider everything that Jesus is, it should make a difference in our life. If you get along with God and you see him for who he is, I guarantee you tonight you will not be the same. We've gotten away many times of realizing who Jesus is. He's the Son of God, and he's God the Son. He's the Almighty, the Alpha, the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's our buckler. He's the Christ. He's the Creator. He's our Deliverer. He's all these things. Sometimes we get away from that. Christianity becomes a list of do's and don'ts rather than a passionate relationship with Jesus. Consider him. If you have your hymn book tonight, I want you to take it and go to hymn number 546. Hymn number 546. Don't worry, I'm not going to sing. Evan was poking fun at me this morning for singing, but that's okay. 546. The bottom of the page on the left side, it says Francis Havergal. Frances Havergal was going through a museum one day of art, works of art, and she came upon a painting that depicted the suffering of Jesus Christ on the cross. Now, I hasten to say that no painting or picture could accurately and truthfully tell what the Lord Jesus did for us, but she, nonetheless, was looking at this painting of what Jesus had gone through on the cross of Calvary, and she was arrested by that painting. And she stayed there for quite some time, and she looked on the painting. And on the bottom of that painting was this inscription: "All this have I done for thee. What hast thou done for me?" And that thought on the bottom of that painting arrested her attention. She couldn't get it out of her mind. A few days later, she wrote the words to the hymn number 546. The hymn says, "I gave my life for thee, my precious blood I shed, that thou mightst ransom be and quicken from the dead. I gave my life for thee, what hast thou given for me? I gave my life for thee, what hast thou given for me? My Father's house of light, my glory-circled throne, I left for earthly night, for wandering sad and lone. I left it all for thee, hast thou left aught for me? I left it all for thee, hast thou left aught for me?" Verse number 4. "And I have brought to thee down from my home above, salvation full and free, my pardon and my love. I bring rich gifts to thee, what hast thou brought to me? I bring rich gifts to thee, what hast thou brought to me?" Tonight, I just want us to consider Jesus. Maybe you're here tonight and your relationship with the Lord has grown cold. Consider Him. Maybe you're here tonight and you're backslidden, you're away from the Lord. Christianity doesn't have the fire it used to have in your own heart. I just challenge you tonight to stop and consider Him. Maybe you're here tonight and you want to quit and it's just not for me and I don't want to do this anymore and it's just not cracked up what it's supposed to be. Stop and consider Him. Perhaps you're here tonight and you have never asked Jesus to forgive your sin. You're lost. We looked at what Jesus is through all the Bible here. There's plenty more. We could go a lot more. We can go on all night. I won't. But consider Him. Consider who Jesus is. Consider what Jesus has done. Consider Him. Let's pray tonight. Father, again, thank You for Your Word. We pray that You bless, Lord, now. We pray that if there's anybody here tonight that needed encouragement, we pray that they'd be encouraged. And Lord, we also pray for the lost to be saved and the backslidden to be brought to You. Lord, we pray that we draw closer to You now in Jesus' name.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.